everybody. Welcome back to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with...
Wally Presenza, known as the Moo Cow.
We're also with...
Hi, I'm Lenore.
All right, and Lenore's joining us. All right, so we're going to watch a movie today that neither Paul nor I have actually seen yet, which will be kind of interesting. So we have no idea what we're in for.
Oh, I've got a pretty good idea. I know who directed it, and... Yeah,
I'm friends with the guy who directed it, so...
Who directed it?
Donald Farmer has directed this movie called Vampire Cop.
Vampire Cop!
It was back in the 90s, I believe, that this movie was shot.
It was
like
94 or something?
Yeah, and it was like a shot-on-video kind of film, and the shot-on-video ones back then were like shot on VHS, you know, not... like shot on those other kind of video, like older video.
And the other thing I vaguely remember is I think the lead actress, isn't she from Samurai Cop?
I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know. Would it be interesting to have two cop movies like that, of that kind of ilk? But I'm really interested to see where this goes. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a really fun, goofy, like, you know, you don't know what you're in for kind of film. If you've ever seen any of Donald Farmer's stuff, like Dorm of the Dead, Cannibal Hookers, Shark Exorcist, I mean, there's a ton of these really cheesy, I'm sure, in the seasons of Indie Film Cafe. I'm surprised we haven't done...
I know
we're doing one next year.
I would have done Cannibal Hookers if it weren't for the fact that it's amongst the group of VHS tapes that I lost when I moved to Virginia. So I just haven't gotten a chance to come around to replace it yet. But one thing I do remember about his movies, there tends to be a lot of utter action. So get prepared, everybody.
Yes.
What is utter action?
You will see very soon.
Somebody milks a cow?
I wish!
No, I don't think there's anything to do with cows at all. I don't know. Okay. I have no idea what he's talking about either, so I guess we'll all see. I mean, whatever. Right. Whatever that means. And we'll talk about it when we come back after this
moon music.
All right, we're back, and we just finished Vampire Cop. We begin, I would like to make an omission from the last one, which was we actually said 1990-something. I think we thought it was 93 or 94. It was 90. Actually 1988. Right. That it was filmed and everything.
And released in 1990.
And released in 1990. So, there you go.
We figured out because every horrible, awful, terrible, steaming, ridiculous trope from the 80s was in this film.
Exactly. All right, so let's begin. Let's talk about the quote-unquote plot of the film. And I say that because it's like not... There's not much of a plot.
Lenore, you know you'd love this film. Talk about the plot.
There wasn't one. Most of the movie was people going to sleep or waking up or dreaming.
I think they were dreaming. I don't know. There's no like really practical thing for the dream.
There was a guy in the tub.
Yeah, that was odd too. The random cutaways to a guy in the... My thumb hit a slider on this. Sorry.
Okay.
I hope that doesn't affect volume. Sorry.
Just slide it up and down. Up and down.
No, there you go. That's perfect.
So there was a guy in the tub that I cut away to at random times. I think he was in the tub for like 3 days. I don't know.
He must be really wanted to get clean.
And he was only in the tub. Like, you never see him out of the tub.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. I think he was a merman.
And I think the main plot of this movie is there's a drug dealer who realizes the vampire cop is a vampire.
Cop?
Yeah. And tracks down the girlfriend he makes in like 2 days and holds her hostage. And that's it.
Oh, also the girlfriend gets really jealous when he's doing his job talking to prostitutes, but I guess she thought he was trying to buy the prostitutes. I don't know.
Well, on duty?
Considering that everybody seems to know where everybody is at all times and knows everybody else's phone number, you'd think that she would at least know the fact that he's actually doing his job.
Mm-hmm. He did say he only, like, he worked the night shift. So that would make sense.
Speaking of which, I'm pretty sure he hasn't shown up to work for the past 3 nights or so in this movie. Well,
there's that too. Now, he's out there being vampire cop vigilante by just killing folks left and right.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, which doesn't seem to mind. The police don't seem to mind that. You know, if you notice that? Like, the police don't seem to be up in arms about it. They seem to be more worried about the drug dealer. I'd be more worried about murders.
Well, you know, this is the South. It's Atlanta. So, you know, they kill each other left and right. What are you going to do?
I guess.
Also, the movie's rather selective about who becomes a vampire and who doesn't.
Yes.
Like, the person he murdered in the beginning, or the tub guy, they don't become vampires, but the...
You know why? Because they don't further the quote-unquote plot.
Well, no, that guy would have...
This movie furthered the plot.
That would have probably furthered the plot if the guy just woke up in the morgue and became a vampire and...
Oh, sure, in another film, but not in this film.
I know. This is a Donald Farmer film.
Donald Farmer.
Which we love. Hey, come on.
It was awful.
Be nice.
I know, but it was awful.
This movie was awful, but I don't know if it was necessarily... I mean, I don't know if it was the budget or the script or all of the above. You know, all of it. Like, because...
The constant slow motion of stuff and recycling of shots over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
And not only would you see it again, you would see it again in slow motion. So you would see it slower. Oh, my God. Padding out the film.
Yeah. Lots of pad. Lots of padding. Yeah. We might be doing that.
And not where the padding where you expect it to be.
I know. So, yeah. So, let's continue with, like, a little bit more of the story, too. Just stuff that we might not have... mentioned. So Melanie is played by Melissa Moore.
Yay.
And does, you know, a pretty decent job, but she kind of plays one of those stereotypical, you know, April O'Neil, I've got to get the story, you know, kind of journalists who don't actually exist. Like, there are no journalists who try to, like, go undercover with the cops, you know?
Especially one who's such a complete pain in the ass and just always, like, she walks into his room, into his house. She just walks in.
While he's sleeping upside down, mind you.
Yeah, of course, because he's a vampire cop.
Well, at least by the end, she probably can't do that anymore.
That's true.
No. We had that discussion because, remember, the vampire cop walks into the house without being invited.
He does.
You know, like,
that might be a cop superpower because they kind of do that whenever they want.
No. They still have to get a warrant to go into a person's house to do something. So even then, they're not even allowed to do that. So it would go against both the police.
Well, if you have probable cause, if you think there's a law being broken, you can go in. You just got to justify
it. True, but don't you have to be invited by the homeowner to go into the house?
Not necessarily.
That could actually be a really big restriction if you're a cop.
Not necessarily. If a crime is being committed,
and you think
it's going, you know, something's going on, they can do it. Again, they just have to justify it.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen all the time.
No, it doesn't happen. So, well, it shouldn't happen all the time.
Right. So what I'm saying is, he can't always go into somebody's house. Like, he can't have that superpower.
Well, it's just funny because, of course, a vampire is not supposed to be able to go into
that's
a house.
That's what I'm
either.
Saying.
That's what I'm juxtaposing, the power of the vampire versus the power of the cop.
Right, but still, there has to be a reason for both.
Right.
And this way, she has him come to the house, but she never says, you can come in. Because technically, if it were a real vampire cop, she would say, he would stand waiting at the door, and then she would say, would you like to come in?
Typically, that's the way it's done, but I'm going to assume that we're going to file that under stuff that would connect and make in the movie and make things make sense, but we just never see. Just like when she says that he doesn't cast reflection in the mirror, we never saw that. She just says that.
Well, that pissed me off because you don't talk about something like that without showing it.
Right, right.
Like, they could have even done a quick little flash of when there were, you know, flashback of
and
when they were
for
doing
all
that.
We know, there may have been a scene that they just decided to cut out, but
because we watched the original cut.
Right, we watched the original cut. So Yeah, there are some stuff in there that goes against the typical standard things that we associate with vampires, and I think they just either scrubbed around it, or they just didn't care, or maybe the scene got cut out. But otherwise, yeah, that's one of the things that you normally associate with a vampire. Same thing with the reflection, except we never actually saw that either, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that we didn't see the whole point about her inviting him in.
Right. So. No, definitely. But there, you know, yeah, so there's the thing. There's some tropes with vampires that they have, and like some that they neglect to, like you don't know when somebody's going to turn into a vampire, when somebody's not.
Or how fast it takes.
Yeah, or how fast it takes. One time it's the prostitute takes a while before she becomes a vampire. The man takes like 10 seconds before he's a vampire.
And some never do at all. The tub guy, we never saw him become a vampire.
Yeah, but he just got bit that one time. We never come back to him. You know, was he going to be a vampire tub, you know, tub vampire?
That would be so awesome. Please make the movie Tub Vampire, I'm telling you.
It'd be tub awesome. Vampire.
Yeah, the cover art wasn't very indicative of the movie. The cover art looks like a London cop in, like, Jack the Ripper times.
Yeah.
Actually, it would have been a very interesting movie if that
would have been very interesting.
Yeah, or at least one of those, you know, kind of, like, even a flashback of when he was younger, you know.
Well, we get no backstory about this guy whatsoever. He just comes in, starts killing people, and is a cop and a vampire, and we just are expected to take it. We have no idea how he became a vampire, how he became a cop as a vampire. Did he become the one first or the other next?
How long has he been on the police force?
How is he able to get away with that shit? I mean, come
how
on.
Long how could he have graduated from the police academy if he can't go out during daylight?
I know.
Yeah, well, there's too many things they have to deal with. That's why they just kind of don't bother.
Maybe he did come from, like, London, but he has no accent, no. You know, or something.
I don't think so. I think he came out of Fredericks of Hollywood, and that's about it.
Yeah. That was... It was a little ridiculous, I guess.
And his hair was inconsistent.
Oh, yeah, it changed lengths and colors a lot.
maybe that's a vampire power.
Maybe, or what was more likely is probably that they were filming different parts of it during different seasons.
I do like his consistent, you know, thing that he loves necks. I mean, when he's killing people, but also when he's having sex with God knows whatever female he decides he gets his hands on, he's almost always kissing and or licking their neck.
That's true.
Pretty sure that's not surprising.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a neck fetish because he's a vampire.
Right, right. Yeah. He ignores everything else. It's just funny.
I just always thought because, like, there's that scene in the movie with the girl, you know, or whatever, the two prostitutes that hold him up. And then he has sex with one of them and it makes him get angry. Well, or not, they don't actually have sex, but they're about to. It looked like. And then he just, I guess he got all horned up and ready, and he all of a sudden turns into a vampire, you know, and bites the girl. And then the other girl's, like, telling him, stop, don't do that. What are you doing? You know, right? And I'm like, you know, like, if you see somebody biting somebody's neck like that and everything, and they're obviously, like, almost trying to kill the person, you would either shoot the person or you'd run. Right. You know, either one.
Well, and that's just it. The whole have sex thing, you can pretty much put in air quotes because that nobody has sex like that. It's some kind of weird simulated Skinamax nonsense that's up there where the only thing that ever anything really happens is that there's some smooching going on, some kissing of the neck. You know, he might grab a boob here and there, but that's it. Otherwise, you're just hearing a saxophone in the background, and, you know, it's like somebody's, you know, it's like Spank Bank music. It's just ridiculous.
It is awful music. But some of the other music, some of the other stuff, like some of the rock music and stuff like that, you know, 80s, you know.
Ugh, yeah, it's like 80s hairy chest and spandex music.
Which you hate, but I love. I know. You know, I love Poison. I love all of those, you know... type of music and stuff that's my kind of 80s music and Eek. Everything and but you unfortunately grew up in a time where you were like 30 when you no maybe 20
I was about to say 20, no
20 when that was a big hit and everything at least right so like you were
hating it
yeah because you were too you weren't growing up with it you know you were kind of you I wonder what kind of music you did like back then
all kinds of good stuff. But not that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Yeah, that was, yeah, 80s, like, crap, you know. But it's fun. Like, I like it. I don't know. I enjoyed the music in it.
Well, I mean, you know, we've looked at movies from that era. I mean, we what did we watch earlier? We watched No Retreat, No Surrender. That's got that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's got, so, like, that's got the, what is it? The survivor type.
Right. It's the same sort of 80s stuff, but it fits. So, you know, it fits in these movies.
Rock and roll.
Hard rock zombies. Right. It, you know, this music is horrible and painful, but it fits the movies because that's when they were shot. So, you know, you go back and look at something like Hobgoblins. That has terrible, crappy 80s music as well. And it just fits. It adds to the stinky bouquet of the film, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. So it was perfect. It was perfect mesh of, like, really crappy, that plus a really interesting sounding score. I mean, it wasn't, you know, but they did use the score a lot whenever they tried to get the, you know, attention of everything. So. Yeah.
And how about Heavy Breath Cam? They used that a lot.
Confusing, because the first time was that the red-haired girl, and the second time it was the two gangsters.
Yeah, I kept wondering if there was really something else out there, and they just never showed
it. Like a vampire squirrel or something that was stalking them. I don't know.
I thought it might have been whatever that thing was on the cover that we never get to see.
The vampire cop?
Well, no.
No, digging the trash can.
It's like a vampire body.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, like, yeah, with the head, holding a head. See, now that would have been a really cool movie, you know.
Sure.
They should do, if they do Vampire Cop 2, this is what they should model it after.
And I'm really hoping that they do. Of course we do.
Yeah, I mean, a Vampire Cop needs a sequel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, what, 30 years ago?
That's perfect.
But still.
Well, you know what? It's funny because, like, nowadays, movies are getting remade.
Right.
And a lot of Donald Farmer's stuff, I think Cannibal Hookers got remade.
There you go.
Or so, I think. I mean, don't quote me on that.
Please tell me it was a musical, because that would be awesome.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a normal movie, but it was just like all his other, you know, fun flicks. But that's what he likes to do now, is, like, he did remake Cannibal Hookers.
Wow.
And, you know, as well as he did a movie called Hooker with a Hacksaw. Yeah, and different things like that. But, you know, Vampire Cop, I feel like it could get a sequel right now, and people would probably flock.
Well, what I love it is that it's got a great title. Who would not want to see a movie called Vampire Cop? Plus, you know exactly what's going to happen in the movie just from the title. Same thing with Cannibal Hooker. What's that movie about?
Cannibal Hookers. What's Vampire Cop? A cop that's a vampire.
Right.
You know, that's pretty simple stuff. It's not, if they didn't have a vampire cop in it, I'd be very angry.
That's true. So I guess we could probably touch a little bit on the acting. The acting really, really ranged. Some folks were okay. I thought the guy who played Geiger was pretty good.
The crime boss.
Right. He had a very well done sort of oily voice that he used. That I don't know if he ever did voice acting or something like that, but he seemed to be able to use that very, very well. He was pretty good. And let's see, Melissa Moore was okay. Sometimes she was okay. Sometimes I was like, what? And then others are just kind of like over the top, like the Geiger's henchman. That guy seemed over the top.
I loved him, though. Like,
the guy who was always eating?
Yeah, he was always eating.
That guy that was always eating, yeah. He was fantastic. Because, like, he arranged, too. Like, at times he would just be, like, really, like normal, like, kind of laid back. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he'd be like yelling at the person.
Well, the thing is, he looks like a complete nerd. He looks like a guy serving you ice cream at the mall. Right. He does not look like a heavy at all. So I guess he had to sort of compensate for that by sort of just going a little bit nuts when he's expected to sort of be menacing someone. And I just didn't buy it. Bought it at all.
I was not menaced by him whatsoever.
No. The guy who played Vampire Cop, he was kind of up and down, too. Sometimes he was okay, sometimes I'm like, what? Really? Come on.
What did you think, Lenore?
I didn't find the movie very menacing. I was still waiting for, like, everybody he bit to turn into vampires, but That didn't happen.
Not all the time, no.
Although I'm pretty sure the town that they're in will soon have a vampire epidemic.
See, that would be a great sequel right there. All the vampires are, all the people get turned into vampires, and all of a sudden they have to deal with... No, we're writing your sequel there, Donald, if you're listening. There you go.
At least two of the vampires that were turned were hookers and are probably still employed as hookers.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know that for some reason sex and biting people seems to be tied together for them.
Right.
Yep. But what did you think of the acting of the movie?
I've definitely seen better.
There was a pause right there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of par for the course for a lot of these kind of late 80s kind of silly movies like this. So, it ranged from being okay to being just crappy. But, you know, it happens.
It's funny because, you know, we've got Lenore here who's not really a huge, you know, B-movie buff, you know.
Yeah.
We're
working on her.
Yeah, you're working on her. for sure. But, like, that's the thing. We're introducing her to movies like this that, I mean, we might not have even seen, but we know of.
Right. And let's face it, the acting in a movie like this is going to be secondary. People are not turning on Vampire Cop to watch acting. They're here for, you know, action and boobs. And the movie does give you both action and boobs. Now,
yeah, it was weird they gave you like a choice.
I know. About the action part. Okay, so there is some fisticuffs. There is some gun violence. I'm not buying the guns. You never actually see them going off. You kind of hear the sound sort of added in post later on, and the guy kind of shakes the gun to make it pretend like it went off. There was a little too much of that. A blank. Somebody should have invested in blanks or something.
Like when the, I loved it because like one of the first times we see that is when the drug dealers are attacking the cops.
Right.
And they would shoot, but like there'd be no blanks, no nothing, like nothing being shot out. And there would be the sound effect. Or they would cut away to the other person like getting shot, but you don't see any squibs or anything.
Yeah, no, and in fact, the sounds are muffled, so it's almost like somebody off camera is going bang.
But right.
They don't. That would have been awesome. I would love to have seen that.
Well, but it's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the sound effects and stuff that they use. Like, remember the telephone ring or something? Like, something sounded, like, awful. Like, it just didn't sound...
Some of the music cues were bad.
The music cues,
there were
too.
Some weird ones that just kind of came out of nowhere. It was just like, why did they just make that funny sound?
Mm.
I don't know.
The only other thing that stood out to me was the wallpaper.
Oh, God, yes.
The ugly peach rose wallpaper.
Right. So these were shot in these homes... So even though the movie was shot in the 80s, I think they were like 60s or 70s, you know, the decor, because you had that awful wicker furniture from the 70s and 80s. You had a lot of hideous, hideous wallpaper. And there was some stuff there that I just could not recognize. I didn't know. You know me. You know I get obsessed with what's in the background of stuff because, you know, a movie forces you to look here. Okay, I'm like, so what's in the background? And I hunt these things out visually. And some stuff I just did not recognize. You know, I think there was one painting that had, like, doilies on them on the side. I'm like, what the hell is that? Why is it there? It just drove me nuts.
Okay, so I know we've gone kind of past the acting in the past, the characters or whatever, which we never really fully talked about the characters, kind of mentioned some. But there was that character, the girl, who had no real... significance to the plot of the movie.
Which girl was that?
The one that got attacked by...
The young chick.
Yeah, young chick.
The one who runs away eventually.
Yeah, so she's like walking down the street. This guy comes in, says, get in the car, basically. Tells her to get in the car. She tells him no. Eventually, somehow, he convinces her to get in the car. I don't know.
I could barely hear.
We couldn't really hear it. So she gets in the car. They drive off to a secluded area. He attacks her, and then Vampire Cop comes and kills the guy. She runs off, and then later she comes to the journalist lady, and that kind of sets, I guess, the plot of the movie going.
Right.
But, like, really, that's it. And then the newspaper lady, the journalist, says, "Will you stay with me for a few days?"
Plot
and
contrivance.
I'm like, why?
Plot
like,
contrivance.
I'm like, only, and I realized why. Like later on, it's because you see her, like it's supposed to, like all of a sudden she runs away from the guy because she recognized him and everything like
right,
that. And,
right.
And I'm like, this is the guy that just saved your life. Even if he's a vampire, he saved your life, you know, from being raped, you know, or whatever. And yet, you know, you're afraid of him like that. Like, and it was mainly because it wanted to show you that he was a vampire.
Kind but he of was
like,
a good vampire.
He was a good of. Vampire. He's the, you know, he didn't get the house dropped on him.
Yeah, the other thing that kind of bugged me about that scene is, you know, yeah, the ruffian guy who forces the teenage girl into the car to drive her someplace secluded. Dude, you picked her up in someplace secluded. That place was so dark and so out in the middle of nowhere, you didn't have to drive her anywhere. You could have just gotten out of the car and done what you needed to do right there.
Yeah.
What was the point?
Well, the point was so that a vampire cop could come out of nowhere and, you know, I mean, I guess he could have done that anywhere.
And then
but...
it's like, teenage girl, really? What kind of decision-making process was that? You just got in this guy's car. Why? Why don't you just walk away? Mm. You were surrounded by shadows. He'd never see you.
You wouldn't go into, you know, into some stranger's car like that, right? Like,
no.
It's not like the guy had a gun on her, right? I didn't see
a
gun.
No.
You know, he didn't have a gun later.
The one
but...
thing I heard him say later, he's like, hey, you want some of this? You want some of this?
And
no!
She said no. She kept saying no. And then eventually she said, okay, sure, I guess. Got
it seemed like they knew each other, but later on it didn't seem like she knew him.
Right, right. It seemed a little inconsistent.
It did. That's kind of like the theme of the movie. It's very inconsistent.
It's consistent, and there were definitely some continuity errors. I don't have the monkey with me.
Yeah, we forgot the monkey. By the way, we're gonna explain this. We are actually doing this at Paul's house.
Yes.
As opposed to... So it might sound a little different than where, you know, we've been
doing it. The studio was just, it was a bridge too far to get to this particular weekend. So we decided to do it at my place, where we have the picture of the cow staring at us, which is kind of cool. But
he's staring.
There were a few continuity issues. The biggest sin of all, of course, is the fact that the vampire cop bites the one prostitute on the right side of her neck, or on the left side of her neck, and then it comes back and she's got the fake bite mark on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And at the first, we're like, wait a second, is that not right? And then they go, as they usually do, and go back and show you the exact same scene in slow motion.
And kind of wavy.
Right, and we see, yes, exactly, he did bite the other side and they had the wrong side there.
Which really was, because I was like, wait a minute. Okay, they're going to show us that, and it's going to be the other side that they show us this time. Nope. They actually showed us, you know, the side that they screwed up
on. We goofed, and here's the proof.
I know. Like, yeah. It's like, they're just not even, they just don't care.
They just don't care.
And that's, I mean, I'm not going to lie, but that's a lot of the 80s video stuff. Because a lot of it's just people hanging out. Making a movie with their friends.
Right.
The fact that they got Melissa Moore in it, and she was in Samurai Cop.
Yep.
We looked it up. She was in Samurai Cop. She was in, like,
She just
Sorority.
Didn't look like I thought she... I remembered her, but that's all right.
Sorority House Massacre 2. I mean, just a ton of these, like, B-movies. I think, if I'm correct, Jim Onorsky did Sorority House...
That would not surprise me. Because this is very similar to a Jim Onorsky kind of film. Especially with all the utter action. So now you understand what I meant by utter action.
Yeah.
There was an awful lot of boobage in this film. Most of it completely unnecessary, other than to sort of make it, you know, sellable as a video rental, which this would have been a video rental at the time. So what did you think, Ms. Lenore? Did you think that it was pointless for all the boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah? Didn't think they were necessary to the plot?
They were not. The weirdest thing is that when we put the DVD in, they had, like, an option. One of them was sex, and the other was blood. And we picked the blood option.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's what we prefer.
Well, because sex, I kept giving us the trailers and stuff. And then we did it again when we came back here, and it gave us the movie. And so I'm thinking that it did that, like, if you actually hit the other one and played the movie, the original cut... You do get the back to the movie again on the director's cut on the other one.
I guess. I'm not surprised that it's not consistent, frankly.
Even the DVD's not consistent. That's kind of funny. It is.
Also, the cop slept upside down.
Yes, he did. Because he's a vampire.
He's a vampire. He's a vampire cop.
It's funny. Remember, the reporter chick, what is her name in the...
Melanie.
She ends up interviewing this one goofy guy who's like, I guess he's supposed to be either a herpetologist or somebody who's...
The bat guy.
Right. And his only function is to sort of plant the anti-red herring, because he goes up there and he's like, the only way that these people died with those marks is from a bat, from a vampire bat. And then he gets all upset when, you know, nobody believes him.
When people just joke on him right. and stuff. And then she leaves the, like, interview, and she has, like, 20 minutes left of the show or whatever to go do some investigating. But, like, no, like, she would be fired for that.
That ridiculous... producer, who must have been like a real producer, because he clearly was not an actor at all. He was pretty awful. But he like yells at her and says, what am I gonna do with 20 minutes? Blah, blah,
with
blah.
With that huge freaking cigar.
Yes, a massive cigar. He was clearly overcompensating for that with that cigar.
Yeah, the cigar was ridiculously huge.
And by the way, you never see her with anybody else except for the very last scene. In the film, spoiler alert there, that is a scene that is coming right out of The Howling, because, you know, at the very end, she's giving her little report with this guy next to her that we never saw before, and then she just turns into a vampire on, you know, in the middle of the show and just starts to bite him, just like they did in The Howling when she turned into a werewolf, which, a ripoff. Ripoff!
The bat guy. Actually, I think he should have been in the movie more. That was interesting.
He probably should have been in the movie more. You know, I guess, you know, he, I don't know. I don't know who played him, but it wouldn't have been a bad idea. You know, if she had teamed up with him as a means to sort of look for vampire cop guy. You know, she didn't really need to spend time looking for him because she always knew where he was. She would just show up at his house and show up where he's working. You know, Atlanta's a big city. She just walks off camera and sees him talking to those prostitutes like, I know exactly where he is.
Was it Atlanta? Because it was Georgia. I don't know if it was necessarily Atlanta.
Yeah, they said at the end that it was shot in Atlanta, and it looked like Atlanta.
Okay. All right. So there you go.
At least that part was. I think the beach scenes were Pensacola, and I think that there were parts that were shot in L.A. as well. But, the downtown stuff that you were seeing, that was definitely Atlanta.
Interesting. I think Donald Farmer played the, probably played the guy with the cigar.
Wow.
I would guess. I can't necessarily tell. Does this look like the guy that we saw in that? It's an older, you know, picture of
him. It's hard to tell.
Or a newer picture of him, you know, when he's a little older.
It's hard to tell.
But I wouldn't be surprised. He is... on IMDb as being an actor in it, it just doesn't say who he played.
Okay, so. Well, I'll have to do a little research and see what's going on with that.
Yeah, but you know, the boss with the cigar and everybody are just like, they're so stereotypical characters that, you know, I mean, I do want to know, like, where does somebody find that huge of a cigar? Just like, I mean, and do you look for that?
It's probably a fake cigar. But, you know, his character and along with some other ones are clearly being played for humor. And, you know, the level of humor kind of, different levels of failure. Sometimes it works. Mostly it's just like, eh, you know. there's a few of those things. The other thing is, we talked about some of the weird music and weird sound cues. For whatever reason, the last 20 minutes of the movie, in addition to being in slow motion, which is a pain in the ass to begin with, everybody's going,
that drove you nuts enough to like make fun of it.
I swear to God, I was going to pull my brains out through my nostrils. It was driving me to drink. Like, what are you doing? Who is doing it? Why do we have to hear it for 20 minutes?
I know. That last 20 minutes was rough.
Yeah. I was waiting for it to be over by that point.
Now, I will say, as I said earlier to you guys, that I really did enjoy whoever played the bad guy, what was his name?
Geiger.
Yeah. He fell at one point. He tripped over something and fell. And it was a really cool stunt for somebody who either was not a stunt person, or if there was a stunt person, it looked good because I didn't recognize it being a transition into... It looked like he just went up there and did it. So I will give that some credit for that.
That's right before he gets on fire.
Yeah, gets on fire and turns into this... Yeah. Yeah, and then he dies. But that was a pretty cool... his head was on fire.
It was kind of melting.
And it was melting, and we weren't sure if that was some kind of special effect or not.
And it's funny because Melody goes out there and watches it the whole time. She's like, "Oh my goodness, it's a vampire, and he's melting in the sun, and I'm just gonna stand here and react for about 10 minutes while he goes."
Yeah.
Why would she be so upset over a death that she caused? She was the one that opened the window.
Well, she was all excited about killing him, and then all of a sudden. You know, now she's upset about killing him, I guess.
And what happened to the other guy? The guy that was the Geiger's flunky?
That's a good question.
He just kind of vanishes and never shows up again.
He said, he had to go, Geiger told him go look for something or whatever it was, And then 2 hours later, when the stuff happens, when the sun is supposed to come up, then the vampire attacks?
I don't know.
Makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason as to when he can become a vampire.
Right.
Or whatever. Does he have the power? Yes, he has the power to turn whenever he wants, but he doesn't.
Right.
So he, because...
It's inconsistent.
If he had wanted to, he would have done that earlier, But for the plot of the movie, they shouldn't have said it for 2 hours. They should have said...
Exactly. Why didn't you just kill him? Just, you're a vampire. Kill him. What's he going to do? Shoot you?
You should have said, in 10 minutes, it's going to be daylight. And right. So, blah, blah, blah. That would make it more sense, because then he can just, go, I don't know.
I guess for some reason, they needed to get rid of the flunky. And I don't know why. They could have just had him there. He's a vampire. He's strong enough to kill two guys. But I guess they didn't want to have to turn two of them into vampires. Which, by the way, hello, Mr. Vampire. You've been biting people and turning them into vampires for a long time. Did you not expect that to happen to Geiger when you bit him?
Speaking of, yeah. If he's supposed to, undercover, if he's a cop, if he's not trying to be noticed, why did he suddenly go on a rash of vampirization for, 3 days?
Right. Rash.
I love how we're, analyzing a movie called Vampire Cop.
I know.
It's...
Also, the journalist at the end. Doesn't she do those broadcasts during the day?
Yeah, I think so.
You would think so.
How did she get to or from work now?
Oh, she just pops in. Just boom. It's funny. It's very much the opposite of a movie like Birdemic, where we're just watching people going from one place to the other, and we're following them in their car for 15 minutes at a time. You never have to see that with this movie. They just pop in. But you had an interesting point with regards to, at some point, Geiger decides that he needs to utilize the journalist to sort of clear his name. So he manages to convince, because of course he just picks up the phone because he knows exactly what her phone number is, calls her up and says, I want to do an interview with you. And she's like, okay.
At this time and place.
Right. Okay.
And the journalist knows that he's a drug dealer. And it's like, if you want this guy behind bars so bad, why didn't you call the police and say he's going to be here at this time?
Right.
Yeah, wouldn't that just be... This is not what all the whole thing of what, the vampire cop wants is for justice of that guy to be arrested.
I guess.
I can understand. This is a movie that's supposed to be like those cop movies or whatever, right? Period cop. Something cop, right? Maniac cop. Cop
buddy movie.
Actually, there's no buddy. Who's the buddy?
The buddy got killed.
Yeah, there's no real buddy cop movie in this or whatever.
Well, he trades up. He gets the journalist as the buddy.
Yeah, but she's not really a buddy.
She's a bosom buddy.
Yeah, that's it. But, so anyway, the whole... idea of the this cop is a cop movie, right? So generally cop movies kind of stick to what actually happens with cops. One of the things they do is they arrest the bad guys, right? instead of kill the bad guys. They don't want to kill the bad guys because they want the bad guys to go to jail. And plus they have to answer to, like, law. If they kill somebody for, even if they're trying to attack them, you know, they have to answer to that.
You answer the law.
Yeah. So, basically, they can't just go around killing whoever they want, even if the people are bad. They have to arrest the people.
That's the way it's supposed to be, in theory, anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the 80s. Nowadays, it's a little even, like, the lines have been crossed. Like, this could even work even more. We'll talk about that in a second, okay? Because I know you want to get to that. We're watching the movie. Like, the movie's on while we're here, and he's going crazy about it. But so there's but what I'm trying to say, and I'm like, long story short, I guess, you know, is that they shouldn't have, he should have tried to bring Geiger in from the very beginning, right? Instead of trying to kill Geiger, right? You know. Okay. However, so if they really wanted that, if everybody really just wanted it, you know, they knew he was, you know, guilty of all these crimes and stuff like that, then she could have just called up the cops, said, hey, I'm meeting this guy here at this certain spot. You know, he's going to be there. And then all the cops were to swarm.
And at least the movie goes to the trouble to establish the fact that Geiger really is a bad guy. I mean, not only does he kill vampire cop's buddy, whose name I don't remember, we don't care, but he also kills the, at the beginning, he kills the one prostitute that's trying to get away.
Right.
You know, and just, like, shoots her. Just for really no reason. I mean, you know, she gave him the money and, you know, I don't know. It just seemed kind of unnecessary to me, but I guess he's a psychopath, so that's what he does. And so at least they go to the trouble of establishing that, which is good. So I guess I could touch a little bit about the thing that, yeah, that I'm just noticing is driving me nuts. First of all, lighting was very strange in this film. I don't understand some of the lighting schemes. We're right now at the infamous sex scene between vampire cop and journalist guy.
Girl.
And they're it's very strange and unnatural, and they're, you know, she's laying in this one angle on the bed, never moves. He's busy licking her neck. And in the background, the wall is lit so that it's pink. The roof is lit so it's kind of lavender, and there's this weird green light coming from in between the ceiling and the wall. I have no idea what's going on there. And it's just very strange. And then, if that isn't bad enough, in the middle of their little sexy romp thing, she, like, sticks her thumb into his mouth and starts feeling around his teeth, like you do when you're having sex with someone, which you would think would be the key giveaway that he's a vampire.
Every time I've had sex now, I've never had my teeth felt, you know, which... Maybe that's an interesting thing. I don't know.
Stick you your know, thumb I, in my mouth, baby, and run them along my teeth.
Yeah.
Was also that one scene that you laughed at where it kept cutting to those guys. One was on the phone and the other had the banana.
Oh my God, that was so hysterical. That's like my favorite image of the movie.
And they kept doing it. They kept going back to same image the whole time. I think you thought it was like a fake. It was just one image because they never did anything.
Right.
They never moved. It was almost like a painting.
Right. It was Geiger with this huge blocky phone that he's talking into, but he's just watching without saying anything. And next to him is the flunky, whose name I don't remember, just eating a banana.
Right.
It's just such an absurd...
The guy that eats everything.
Absurd image. It
always
just cracked
eating
me up.
Even eating a banana.
It was a funny image.
It was
really
weird.
Was.
It was probably the funniest part of the movie.
I know.
Yeah. You even said that. You even commented that while we were watching it. That was the funniest thing that you've seen in the movie, you know, or whatever, while we're watching it.
Yeah. First,
I mean...
Like, 20 minutes or so, it was completely unclear if it was... a dream or not.
It's a terrible movie, but it's also a lot of fun. I mean, I had fun watching this film. This, you know, picking it apart, okay, yeah, there's a lot of problems and it's a bad film. But, you know, what have I always said? The cardinal sin of movie making, bad movie making, is to make a boring movie. This was not a boring movie.
This was not. You could not say this was a boring movie.
No.
I was tired and this kept me up.
Yeah.
Like, this was... I mean, was it last week, or last, you know, the last one we did was,
Forbidden Zone.
Forbidden Zone. That was a wonderful movie. It was very bad.
It was very bizarre,
but that was a wonderful movie. This is a wonderful movie as well. It's just
in
a different
way.
Yeah. And
I thought it was boring.
You thought it was boring? You thought
this
was...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can see that.
I guess it's funny, considering I've seen some really boring, shot-on-video movies and stuff, I think this movie was not that,
It wasn't as boring as Aftia Maximus.
Or Karaoke Kid.
Yeah.
Karaoke Kid.
But it was... most of it's just people waking up for some reason. That's a lot of the movie.
Yeah, there was a lot where Melanie
repeats those were boring too.
You're seeing her, and then you're seeing stuff, and then you're seeing her in bed, writhing around. So you're kind of it's implying that what we're seeing is her dream, but it happens so often. It's like, wait a second, is she dreaming half the film? What is going on here? Why is she seeing stuff that we're seeing? You know, it's like, where is she in this film? It was very strange. Mm-hmm. There was way too much dreaming stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the constant cutbacks to repeating scenes in slow motion.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that reminded me of a W.L. Wilder film where he just, recycles the same shots over and over and over again. They did that a lot in this. It's almost like a clip show. Boo, clip show.
Yeah, it's padding. It's because they don't have enough... scene, so and I guess that goes into the editing part of the whole thing, is the editing of it was very choppy at times. There was, I don't know if Donald Farmer edited or you got somebody else to, or if they really said, oh, we only have 70 minutes or 60 minutes of movie,
right?
What are you gonna do? And they said, okay, just keep cutting back to this.
I think you're right, because I was just about to say, I think they had about 60 minutes of worth of movie that they padded out by cutting back to the same scenes and by slowing stuff down.
The credits in the beginning and the credits at the end were both 4 minutes long each.
Right.
So that's 8 minutes right there of an already an hour and 22-minute movie. So right there, that's, was it 16?
And even at the end credits, they were lifting scenes 14. We've already seen and put it in the credits, so we're seeing them yet again.
Right. So really, they had 60 minutes, and then maybe and then they used about 14 minutes of of just back footage and slow motion and different things to make it pad out. But
because you can't release a full length feature in an hour. Not even back then. Ray Dennis Steckler, when he was going to release The Trooper, he was originally an hour long, and his distributor said, no, you got to pad this out. You need at least 10 more minutes or 15 minutes in there. So he had to resubmit it as Bloodshack with an extra 10 or 15 minutes of this footage of his daughters at a rodeo. It has nothing to do with anything, but he puts it in there as padding to pad it out to its requisite length. So I'm almost positive they were probably, whoever was distributing this, I guess it was his own, this is Donald Farmer's own company though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, SRS put it out.
Right.
Distributed it, but I think Donald made it.
Okay, himself. But whoever was going to maybe turn it into a DVD at the time, or VHS, would have been VHS, said, probably said it needs to be longer than an hour. So put more in there.
And so that's what they did, and... or they knew themselves, they only had an hour long movie.
Because sometimes you see that, and it's because the filmmakers are being overly artsy and pretentious, and I don't think that's happening in this film.
Well, back in the 80s and the 90s, it was very specific about how much time you had to do. You had to do an hour and 20-minute movie, or it wasn't a feature film.
Right.
Nowadays, it's actually gotten shorter. You can do an hour. You can do an hour and 10 to 15 minutes, and it's fine. In fact, nobody really bats an eye, because we live in a very technological YouTube day, where everything has to be short, because we have a short attention span.
Exactly. Everybody's got attention deficit syndrome. And I remember the classic length of a short film was 15 to 20 minutes, and now your short films are 5 minutes long.
Well, then again, then comedies, Hollywood comedies. Now, Hollywood's different, but Hollywood comedies today are 2 hours long. Ugh. When they used to be an hour and 30 minutes and everything, or less, right? So now, the independent films are, shorter and shorter, because they know what the people want.
Right.
You know, they're very specific. Hollywood doesn't know, and Hollywood doesn't care.
Right.
You know, right? And independent films, they know and they care because that's who they're going for.
Right.
They're going for people like you and me, Paul. Maybe not necessarily people like Lenore yet. You know, when she gets into it later, when she really starts buying her own movies and stuff like that.
No. In Hollywood, everything has to be a blockbuster, epic popcorn summer movie.
Yeah.
That has a chance of making $200 million, $300 million. Otherwise, they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why everything comes out in the same cookie-cutter style.
And yeah, and these ones, you can do almost anything you want.
Absolutely.
You can have a vampire cop who has all these continuity issues, and nobody bats an eye because they look at it and they go, it's vampire cop.
And like, I'll be perfectly honest, even with all the issues this movie had, I'd much rather watch Vampire Cop than, I'd say, 95% of the comedies or other things that come out of Hollywood.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this, you know, this has comedy in it, you know, not as much, but it does have comedy in it, you know, and sometimes you laugh even when you're not supposed to laugh. I think Lenore laughed a couple times when I don't think they were meant to laugh, you know, or whatever. They weren't jokes. It was really funny. Like, what are they doing? Like, why is she feeling his teeth? Like, while they're having sex. That's just the weirdest. Did the sex kind of gross you out at all or anything? Or
I mean,
make you feel uncomfortable?
There wasn't any, so.
That's true.
Well, there was an awful lot of neck licking, you know.
That was
kind of weird. But yeah, there was nothing explicit. Or even the violence wasn't particularly bad.
Right.
You know, I mean, at one point, I remember they capture the lieutenant. Come on, like a big city like that, and all you get is a lieutenant. He's just some old guy. So
originally when they capture him, they say, you know, hey, my boss would like to speak to you. And he's like, no, I'm busy. I don't have time for this. And he was like, but he must insist. And he doesn't even have a gun on him or anything. And then why wouldn't the cop just pull out his gun and say, hey, look, I'm not going to go with you.
So they, because he's an idiot, so he shows up there and they tie him up. And there's a chick there who's really not there for any other reasons other than to skank up the scene. And the you know, Geiger and his flunky. And the flunky starts torturing him with the chainsaw. Because, you know, in the 80s, that was the big thing, was chainsaws.
Did he survive? Well,
who knows? I guess it doesn't really matter, but you get to see the fake blood off on the side. But even that's not a very... It wasn't a very graphic scene. It was just a lot of fake blood. And, you know, what I love is, you know, the guy is getting something cut off, like an arm or a leg or something. So he immediately starts bleeding from the mouth.
Yeah. As you do.
As you do, apparently, because it's all connected.
Yeah, well, and you know what really made me, like, worried about that is because, okay, so the chick that got bit by the vampire cop when he was, when he started biting her and then the other chick got mad and he bit her too? Whatever happened to the blonde chick who got bit? Like, why didn't she become a vampire?
She does. She and the other one are the ones who killed Tub Guy.
I know, but, like, they don't really show it that much because... isn't she the one that's with the other cop? Like,
she's another set of vampires that could be out there turning Atlanta into a bunch of vampires.
Once again, sequel. I want to see a sequel. I will write you a sequel, Donald. Just let me know, and I will write you Vampire Cop 2. And we will have it all be, like, you know, set in a time where all Atlanta is just turned into vampires.
Vampire Cow. It would be awesome.
Cowpire.
Come to drink the milk of the living. How awesome would that be?
Cowpire. I would watch that. All right. So I guess we're at that time where, wow, this is going a little quicker than I imagined it to.
That's what she said.
No, that's what Melanie said. while she was feeling that dude's teeth.
Yes. Getting licked on the neck.
All right. So... He's going to be like, you guys are way too fascinated by that sex scene or whatever.
Well, we kept seeing it over and over.
I know. I guess explain to everybody the rating system,
okay,
sir.
So we have a stinkometer in which we take a number between 1 and 10 and rate the movie on how stinky it is. If you get a 1, then it's not particularly stinky at all. And if you get a 10, it's really awful, terrible, horrible, and incredibly stinky.
We have never gotten a 1 yet.
No, we have not, but we've come close. We've had a couple of 2s, we've had a 2.5, but we have not had a 1 yet. But, you know, who knows? Maybe that's coming. But you can make that rating.
It won't be today.
No, it won't be today. I'm not going to accept for that lufta. That incredibly giant lufta might deserve a one. But so you can make a regular rating between 1 to 10, and you could even do a half step if you feel like you need to be that subtle. So we're all going to give our scores, and then we're going to end up averaging it, and then we're going to see how that cow pairs to the rest of the movies we've seen this season and see which one is the stinkiest.
All right. So
I went first last time, so it's somebody else's turn.
All right, it'll be my turn. Or unless you want to go first, Lenore.
No, you should go first.
All right, I'll go first.
I'm still getting used to this rating system.
All right, so I'm going to give it a 9.
Nice.
Because I really, really wanted to give it lower stuff. I really did. Especially earlier, I wanted to give it, while we were watching it. And at first, I thought, oh man, this is going to be a lower one, right? Like, this isn't too, I thought this was going to be a mediocre one.
Just
you
wait.
And then I kept watching it, and Donald Farmer didn't surprise me on this. But no, I gave it a 9 because I did enjoy it for its stinkiness. Like, it's one of those movies where it doesn't deserve like a 6 or a 7 where it's just kind of okay or something like that, right? This is a stinky movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it deserves a stinky number. So I'm going to give it a 9.
Yeah, this movie is a classic 80s stinker. That probably would have been on Skinamax late at night.
If not, it should have been.
It should have been. It certainly would have been, in the stinky movie section of everybody's video store back in the 80s and 90s. So, yeah, I'd say a 9 is exactly what I'm going to award.
Oh, you're going to give it a 9.
I think that's a perfect score.
Okay.
I'm kind of in agreement. It's, 9.
9. All right, Adolf Hitler there.
There you go.
That's perfect. Wow. I think, that's a 27 right there.
And I got to be honest, that's a little stinkier than I was expecting coming into this film. But in the end, it's not just a matter of how bad it is or how good it is. It's also a matter of how much fun it is, because this was kind of a fun film. We enjoyed picking on it a little bit and never was bored anywhere through it. So, I mean, at least I wasn't. So
I know.
It's a 9, but it was a fun 9.
Yeah, no, it kind of had what Polymorph should have probably had a little bit. Like, I love Polymorph. Like, don't get me wrong, right? I love that. And I'd probably watch Polymorph a little bit more than I'd watch this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a little bit easier to watch, at times. Like, this is just something you show your friends or whatever. Or if I want to just listen to commentary on how to make a stinky movie, whatever. But it's also stinky enough where it's fun and it's enjoyable, right? And you can watch this, over and over again.
I think Polymorph was a better film.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, and they, they're trying to make a better film. Like, this was trying to make a stinky movie, I think. I think they, took all the tropes that they could to make, a bad B-movie, and they just ran with it.
Right, this is a blood and vampire and boobs and vampire movie.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah, exactly. So, there you go. I think that's perfect, this movie should either be remade or have a sequel to a Vampire Cop 2 or something. I think the vampire cop should be female this time, instead of the same guy or whatever, because obviously the same guy's not going to be able to play the vampire cop.
Right.
Because, he's gotten older.
Right. Right.
And vampires are not supposed to age.
Right.
So that's the problem with vampires is, Angel can't play Angel that much. After a while, you start seeing gray hair and you go, wait a minute, something doesn't, it's just, you'd have to explain that and stuff.
Well, I think we definitely need a mashup, because if you haven't seen the vampire donut movie, that would be perfect for vampire cops. Vampire cop with a vampire donut, be perfect.
Didn't you recommend vampire mashed potatoes?
Yes, I did. And I'm going to stick with that film. That's my film. I'm making that movie.
All right. You making that movie. All right. Good.
Vampire mashed potatoes.
Okay. That's it for this episode. So what is going on? What is going on in our world of the podcast? I guess The big thing is you guys can check out sickflickproductions.com. Another big thing is they just upped their GoDaddy, GoCentral prices.
Oh, yeah?
I may not be able to afford this, you know, to keep websites, you know, everything. I mean, I may be able, I keep the domain name or whatever, but I can't keep the actual website going. So I may be getting rid of a couple of them. I know Sick Flick Productions, for anything, that is staying, you know.
Right, and I'm sure the Indie Film Cafe.reviews.
That's yours, yeah, so you can, yeah. You're doing that yourself. I don't think you're even doing GoDaddy.
No,
I'm, so you're paying that. Different. So that's gonna still stay. We're still gonna be on Podbean. And then let's see, not much else going on.
Maybe, but you know what? If you guys want to help us out, here's our time to shill. We do have a Patreon page, and every time you donate $1 or $2 or whatever you want to donate for, you know, every month, it goes a long way to helping our production for, you know, films, for podcasts, and just even simply keeping up websites and things. So we really appreciate it, and we could use any help you want to give us.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a YouTube, we've got all that stuff, and I mean, it's not easy to keep those going without some kind of donations or whatever. I mean, we can pay for everything all we want, but you know, we're not getting paid for this technically. So until, like, we kind of have like a Patreon, you know, help on the Patreon and stuff like that, that goes a long way.
And unfortunately, the truth is that Continuity Monkey has a lot of gambling debts that we have to cover, because he's just a wacky monkey and he just can't keep himself from...
Stop bringing him into Atlantic City.
Terrible bets. Hey, I don't take him. He goes on his own. Plus, he does that internet gambling stuff. He's got a problem.
Yeah,
we need an intervention.
Go spank that.
That's what Space Monkey's for.
Oh, that's true. Space Monkey. Well, Space Monkey needs to get in there and...
No, go spank that monkey.
We'll be doing that later, I'm sure.
Alrighty then, anyway. Oh my goodness. And on that note,
spanking the cow right now.
But yeah,
like,
so
I just walked into something I don't understand.
Well, good. Good. You poor innocent girl.
Yeah.
We
she didn't even know what utter action was. It was so adorable.
I didn't either. Because I don't know what you're talking about, you weirdo. But anyway, I bet even the audience didn't know. They were just like, what the heck are you talking about? Whatever. Anyway. Yeah, so thank you, Donald Farmer, for making such a classic movie. Thank you, SRS Cinema, for putting it out.
Yay.
So Ron Bonk, thank you so much, because he runs it. We got to see the preview of House Shark.
Yes.
And that was fun.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing that movie at some point.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure we'll review it.
We will.
You know, if not for this, but for maybe like just an actual review or whatever.
We'll do a video review maybe.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, so there's so much stuff. Join us, the next, time in like what, 2 weeks or so. I don't know if I'll be back or if, Paul will be doing another one. We're trying to switch it up because Paul wants to do the last one. He's got something very special in mind, and so we need to get him on the even numbers so that we can do that and everything, so you can have the last episode.
Yay.
And yeah, we're excited about that because it's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You're in for a treat, I'm sure. I'm in for a treat too, because I've never seen the movie that he's planning. And then next season we got some really cool stuff coming too, so
Yay.
We'll let you know more about that pretty soon. So with that, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Check out indiefilmcafe.reviews, sickflickproductions.com, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, and then I guess, is that it? The websites, the Patreon, and other YouTube, and all the other fun stuff. So thank you guys so much.
All right, see you later.
Bye.